Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Leal welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, December 28th, 2012. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit our websites, llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more. And the community website, bringforth.org, that's bring, the number four, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Leal, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Well, Carla and Jim, how are you doing today, and how was your Christmas?
We're doing very well, and we had a wonderful Christmas with Carla's family, two brothers, one from Denver and one from Washington, D.C., and their kids, and everybody seemed to have a great time with good food and good cheer and thoughtful gifts. So we had a wonderful week. We've kind of stretched it out. We're just now kind of ending the Christmas celebration.
Wow, that's great. Like I said before, you guys do know how to party, so that's great to have an extended Christmas. And Carla, I'm so glad to hear you're feeling better. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a special Christmas. We also had Jim's old friend from when he lived in the country and had his homestead in Marion County, Kentucky, and his oldest friend here that he made in Kentucky, a fellow named Eric, and his mom came and shared Christmas with us also. So there's something special about a Christmas with guests that, you know, are part of your family because they really, you know, don't have any other family, just themselves, just each other. So it was more poignant and felt more Christ-like because we had opened the doors to more than just the family and said, come in. Here you can find joy and rest.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, here it is a week after the big date that everyone was in such a, you know, was so concerned about, and we are still here. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm going to go ahead and start with our opening riff. This is from Kuo from December 14th, 1986. The concept of the Christ was this, that intelligent infinity, as experienced by the Logos and with the bias of the Logos, would enter a third density experience, not erasing the one known as Jesus' personality or being, but coming into the closest possible harmony with that being. There needed to be one who wished to sacrifice an incarnation to the ever-increasing pleasure and agony of the Creator, experiencing what this instrument would call the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. For it is the nature of the Christ and the nature of third density that the two, perceiving each other, should react. The third density with a lack of understanding, and the Christ with wonder, joy, and sacrifice. Such is the sorrow of your illusion and the joy of sensation and communion. In the end, Jesus the man became so able to bear both joy and agony that this entity stopped experiencing the Creator and for long periods of time became the Creator experiencing third density. Such is the perfect channeling of love. The achievement of the perfect channeling was the mystery of union between creator and illusion.
Thank you, Monica. I thought it was good, now that we have more or less dealt with the winter solstice, to think about Christmas. It's our hope at L&L Research that we offer help to those who probably don't have a church. They don't have a temple. They don't have a place to go that is already established as a way to the Creator. And so they're having to make their own spiritual life, build their own experience, create their own walk with Spirit. And I think that sometimes there's almost a prejudice against even talking about Christmas or Christ. And we will always understand that. But I personally find room for both the philosophy that is so comforting and so clarifying in the Law of One material and in Confederation material in general. And my Christianity, which I have had from the cradle, and which I have never felt the need to depart from, that's a blessing indeed. So I've been able to keep all the beauty of the Episcopal Church, the music, the ritual, the incense, and the smells and bells, as people say about Catholic churches and Episcopal churches. The joy that I have experienced in Christian communion really can't be overrated. When you have people to whom you are close to worship with on a Sunday, and you come together and you worship together, and you move into contemplation together, and you move through the ritual together, and you come to the table together, there's an incredible amount of joy and peace in that companionship. And that is the one thing that is hardest to offer to our seekers, is that feeling of communion. We have a yearly get-together, homecoming once a year, and I think that functions as our communion, as our Holy Communion. I know whenever people come, you know, it's just such a shock, really. It's a culture shock, because all of a sudden there are 30, 40 people there to whom you can talk, to any one of them. You could say what's on your heart, and you're safe. You know, nobody is going to tell you that you're an idiot, or why are you thinking about things like that, or something like that. You'll get a good conversation going. Not everybody thinks the same at all, but everyone has the same basic experience of feeling isolated within their own families and their circle of friends, because of this need to seek further than others. And so I just wanted to make a nod towards the Christhood and say a little bit about how I see the beauty of it. Of course, I have a personal experience of Jesus. Jesus was very, you know, oddly enough, in my magic forest when I was a little bitty child. And for about 3 or 4 years, I would go there. I would put my glasses so that they would catch the light when I was supposed to be taking a nap. Well, excuse me, I'm not sleepy. So I would do something else. I would do this. And I would look into the glasses until I caught a sunbeam. You know how you can focus your glasses and it just really makes a beam of light. And somehow I would slip into a magic forest right on that beam of light. And Jesus was there. Now, the trees were talking to me. The animals were talking to me in the magic forest. Even the flowers could talk to me. But, you know, Jesus never said a word to me. He just looked into my eyes and held my hand. And I knew when I looked into his golden eyes what love was. There was no question. That attitude that he had, that gaze that held me spellbound, was love, unconditional and absolute. I've never lost that feeling of the personhood of Jesus. But as I've grown older, I've come more to understand the gift of Jesus. And I think that it bears on so many people being disappointed that, quote, nothing happened, close quote, when we had the winter solstice. Of course something happened. Something happened ultimately, finally, and those who were tuned in faith were able to perceive a change in the frequencies. And you'll be seeing, I'm sure, the psychics talking about that there is a new set of frequencies now. And I can feel it. But it is an entirely intimate thing, and it is within us. And it is only within us if we approach the matter as we approach the Holy Communion table with faith, with absolute faith, that this is happening, that this is true. And Jesus was a man that was able to look upon the third density and respond not with disappointment and confusion, but with joy. He was living in his own mind, in his own heart, in the density of love and understanding, in fourth density, in heaven, if you will. And we, too, can do that. Jesus intended for his heirs through hope to be able to move into carrying the cloak of Christhood. And there is both joy and agony in that. Because third density calls us to sacrifice. That's why we came here. That's why we live here. That's why we have our being here. Each of us chose to serve here. This is our moment. And although we may pray, Father, take this from me, truly we need to take up that cloak of Christhood. Let the crown that weighs so heavily upon our heads sit there. And live out this incarnation, being a person that is truly a servant of the one infinite creator. That servant was exemplified and embodied in a baby born in a manger in poverty with none of the advantages that make people important in our culture. We're not important either. We're peasants, all of us. But if our hearts are filled with love, then when we extend our hands, those are hands of love. Our voices are voices of love. Our smiles are living love. And the people around us can feel that living love. They may not want to call it anything to do with the Christ. And indeed, it may have nothing to do with the Christ in the mind of those who have found a way to be the servant of the one infinite creator and his true heir. But all of us have that Christ child within us. We carry that Christ child, much as a mother would carry a baby. We're very young spiritually, and we're attempting to live in such a way that the spirit within us can grow to maturity, that the vibrations within us can become more and more like those of the Creators, those of love. Do we want to end our lives on a cross? I think I would say yes if I felt that by doing so, the rest of the people on earth could be saved from agony and suffering. That's what Jesus thought. That was the plan. That was a way to show how much love can give and how gladly and selflessly it gives. But I don't think we're called to do that. I think one Christ is enough. One Jesus saves us all. And when I challenge spirits in the name of Jesus the Christ and say, can you say that Jesus is Lord? I get the impression that Jesus has been around and that Jesus is Lord of all, whatever planet, whatever galaxy. Love is Lord of all. Merry Christmas, everybody. Monica, I see you have some visitors.
We sure do. I'm going to go ahead and unmute our live caller. And that was beautiful, Carla. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, are you there with us?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Cyril.
Okay, hi, welcome to the show. I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
Cyril.
Peter?
Cyril, like Cyril?
Oh, Cyril. Hi. We'll work it out. Cyril.
Yeah.
Okay, hi, Cyril.
Hi.
Have you a question?
Not really. I was looking for a message from my spirit guides or angels.
Mm-hmm. A message from the angels?
Mm-hmm. A spirit guide.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you can hear those spirit guides yourself. It's a matter of doing it. Have you ever heard me talk about this before? Because if you haven't, I'll tell you what I know.
Actually, I don't think I've ever listened to your show.
Okay. Well, then let me talk to you about how I talk to the Holy Spirit, who is my inner guide.
Okay.
I ask a question in faith that the Holy Spirit is right with me, closer than my breathing. And I call her Holly because I don't like to call her Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, after all, she's my flame of the Holy Spirit. So I call her Holly. I say, Holly. And then I put the question to her. And the next thing that comes to my mind, I write it down. That's
mm-hmm.
what she's saying to me. So I'll look at what I've got, what's come to me, and then I'll organize my next question. And then again, the next thing that comes into my mind, I'll write it down. So
mm-hmm.
you can do it on the computer, or some people would much rather do it with a pen and a piece of paper because it's more intimate that way. And that way, you can always get a message from your angels. Your angels want you to be safe, and they want you to know that you are loved. That is angels' message to you. You are loved
mm-hmm.
and safe. And beyond that, in terms of you know, advice, I truly feel that if you practice this, very soon you'll break through into finding a way. This is the way to converse. If you've ever read a book called Conversations with God, the author of the book did exactly the same thing. He wrote down a question, and then he wrote down what the next thing that came into his mind, And he discovered he was having a conversation that was helping him out a lot, telling him what he needed to know. And he ended up writing several books just simply that by doing this. Some people would call it channeling. And I don't think it's truly channeling, because this is an inner guide. It's very intimate and personal to you. So that's why it's easier to hear, easier to get than an outer source like the Confederation that I've channeled before.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Sadie, for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay.
Hope it helped a little bit.
I'm going to put you back on mute, and you are welcome to stick around and listen to the rest of the show, and be sure and check out the website, llresearch.org. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and go to some of the questions. There's naturally you addressed a lot of this already, but, there's been a lot of conversation about the harvest that didn't happen, and December 21st was a dud, and stuff like that. And I know you and Jim talked about this last week, but I think we still have a little more conversation we could have on it. So I'm going to go ahead and read to you a few of the comments that have come in.
Okie doke.
All right. First of all, Mysteries says, I want to give an extra thanks to Jim and Carla for your work with the Law of One material. It sparked my spiritual journey and changed my view on life. There exists so much material of interest out there, but none of this complexity and precision. And Somatic Dreams says, we from the forum have and are all sending you love, Carla, Jim, and Monica. Now, here's some comments regarding last Friday, the winter solstice, from X-Radifel, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Since I'm fairly new, I'm not sure how involved they are in regards to other channels and the entities that they channel, but given the fact that most, if not all, popular channels indicated some type of physical event, could it have been purely metaphysical instead? If it was supposed to be physical along with metaphysical, how could something so paramount to so many channels, especially as the date neared, been incorrect? As far as the date of harvest was concerned, Ra kept stating that the harvest was soon, as far back as the 80s, and most entities Carla channeled post-Ra stated soon, or that it draws near. Is it possible that most channeled entities just can't fathom our concept of time? And one last comment from KDC, I was bummed that the striking of the hour came and went so uneventfully. I didn't expect some rapture or cataclysm, but come on. I looked forward to Ra's statement about this momentary opening to intelligent infinity. It just sounded like something that you'd know when it happens, but nothing makes you feel duped in a way. Okay, that's just a little sampling, but you get the idea.
Okay, well, in the first place, not all channels. We're talking about a physical event. I certainly was never, ever talking about a physical event. It never occurred to me that this would be a physical event, and I believe that the Kuo readings reflect that. Now, I think that the Ra readings can be easily misunderstood, let's put it that way. And I do think that there was an alignment at the striking of the hour, as it were, of new energies in such a configuration that one was able to enter into the gateway of intelligent infinity at that moment. I certainly experienced that, and I was very joyful to experience it. It didn't last for very long. I wasn't trying to make it last for very long. I expected nothing more than actually happened, because I knew it was a metaphysical event, and that the thing that will graduate us and send us forward will occur after our physical death. The relief of that is that we no longer need to fear death. We no longer need to fear hell. We have more like waiting for what our exam results are in school. Here we are in third grade, do we want to repeat third grade or do we want to go on? Well, of course, usually people want to go on. They want to find out what else there is to know and go on to the next grade in school and learn all sorts of new things. And but that's our choice, really. Either we're going to graduate or we're going to repeat this experience, this density of choice, so-called, and continue having incarnations for a while until we grasp that we need to make a choice, and we need to make it with every fiber of our being, and that is, I will serve others in the name of the Creator. From now until the end of my life, I will be of service. That is my goal. And, you know, you can't dictate how you're going to be of service. You're turning your will over to the Creator in a way. But it's really up to all of us to control the choices that we make in such a way that our experience changes. My experience tends to be a really beautiful experience because for so many years I've worked at choosing the loving response. If you are putting out loving responses to whatever's happening, the best way that you know how, and I will admit that there are many, many times it's hard to find a loving response. But, you know, people seem to be so goofy, to put it mildly. But you can find charity in your soul when you run up against the goofiness of people. And you can hope to be a source of love to them, regardless of how they're acting or how they're treating you. Because if they're treating you badly, well, that's a beatitude. You know, blessed are those who are, you know, cursed for my sake, because, you know, this is basically a good thing. You know, you're serving the cause of love against all odds. And that's what we need to do. It's a matter of taking hold of these vibrations, leaning into them, trusting them, and finding the strength within us to make these choices to give ourselves a loving and beautiful life. And that's what happens. Your life changes when you start making that choice for love, no matter what people do to you, and especially when people are harsh to you. Finding ways to extend your hand in love at all times. Finding ways to keep your heart open when it hurts so badly. Finding ways to accept suffering in faith that this, too, is a gift, just a little harder to unwrap.
Okay, thank you, Carla. I want to let everyone know that you can call in live if you'd like to ask a question live on the air. You can call 646-595-2294 and just listen in that way. Or if you want to ask the question live, be sure and hit the one key, okay? And then that'll let me know to unmute you. 646-595-2294. The next question is from Claire, and part of it is kind of the same, so I'm going to skip over that and go to the part that's different. Claire says, hi, Monica, Carla, and Jim. The work that you're all doing has helped me enormously, especially right now. Thank you so much from my heart. Also, Monica, you're a wonderful host. I love the show. Thank you very much, Claire, for saying that. My question is, could Carla and Jim talk a bit more about Ra's take on this 12-21 density dimensional shift? And then she goes on about, you know, how it's been confusing, kind of what you had just addressed. But here's the part. From what I learned from the raw material years ago, we're going to the fourth density. I'm also sure that there are a lot of ways to perceive this shift, and there might not be just one right way. But I'd like to revisit Ra's original explanation as well as other information you all may have received throughout the years. I was so glad to hear Carla say, I'm glad all this is finally over about this 12-21-2012 date so we can get on to other things. in the broadcast on 1221. I've been experiencing several new things these past few days, but trusting God to take me where I need to be, staying open and aware of love as much as I can, this has been my response to it all. Still, I would like to know more about the technicalities of the shift from the Law of One material. This is from Claire.
Okay, well, we got information from Ra on a number of different sessions that all pointed towards the fourth density graduation. Ra said at one point that the fourth density energies had actually started shortly after World War II, that there was an increase in vibration there and the planet itself began to enter into the fourth density. At another point, Ra said that the 2011-2012 area was a kind of like a tipping point, a crucial point that would mark what you would call maybe the full momentum of the planet was now fourth density, and that thoughts were more likely to become things, that we were able to, with our own abilities to imagine and move our lives in a spiritual path, we were able to make changes in our lives more effectively in this time. At another point, Ra said that the fourth density would probably take between 70 and 100 or so or more years to fully come into being. And their way of looking at time, this is a very short period of time. You have to remember that they're living in a density that takes 75 million years to complete. We're living in a density that takes 75,000. And even in 75,000 years, if you look at 100 or 200 years, that's still a very short period of time. So everything is relative in this regard. However, the movement into the fourth density is more a response to the choices we as a population of a planet make. And that's why no entity, Ra or anyone else, can say for sure exactly how long a shift in consciousness is going to take. It's something that we decide as we move forward as individual seekers and as groups of seekers from the various countries and races around the planet. There's all kinds of energy in motion that can either accelerate or hinder the movement into fourth density and full fourth density. So one of the things that Ross said fairly certain was that in order for us to be harvested and to go into the fourth density, we would have to go through the doors of what we call death. We would drop the physical body and drop those attributes that are really not much use, personality traits that we've gathered about us. What is really of importance, though, is not lost. Any strength that we've gathered towards opening our hearts in love, of being of service to others, of seeing the Creator all around us, all of these abilities that we are honing and strengthening in our incarnations go with us. Everything of value goes with us. But we do all walk the steps of light after we pass through what we see as the doors of death. And these steps of light are a way of determining just how far into the fourth density or the what some may call the heaven worlds we will go. As we move up these steps of life, there are those that aid in this harvest, standing close by so that there is no misstep or no one stops before he or she is ready to stop. Nothing impedes your progress. So that when finally the light becomes too glaring and there's too much there for us to deal with, then we step aside. And where we step aside is the level of the fourth density that we will then begin to do our work with others who are there, so that we will be able to join our hearts and our minds in a very powerful way with those who are like us, who also desire to be of service, to desire to live in an open-hearted way, and to continue to serve the Creator in everything that they do. So this is a process that has been going on for a while and will probably go on for a while longer. And once we've gone through it and look back upon it, we'll probably see, that was pretty quick. I really didn't expect it that quickly. But here in the third density, as we're going through this process, it seems very long and very drawn out, and sometimes we kind of wish it would go quicker. But It is as it is, and we are all partaking in it every moment.
Yeah, I think all that's true. And I would also like to say, before we leave the subject completely, that I think that part of what drives psychics sometimes to say that there's going to be a discontinuous event, there's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a landing or whatever, is a desire that is egoistic because it makes you feel big to talk about a big thing. All the times that I've said, no, I don't think anything like that's going to happen, I think it's a spiritual event. It did absolutely nothing for my ego, but it was what I was truly believing, what I was receiving from the sources that, you know, we have used for so long. And I think that if you look at the psychology of people who name a big event, generally, you know, they're the leader of the event, or they will be part of the leadership of that event. There's a place for them at the right hands of the Creator. And it's just too bad, but I don't think that any of us is without ego. And it just so happens that my ego isn't particularly involved in that kind of thing. I guess is how I've escaped. But all of us would like to see something dramatic happen. I think that's why gossip works. That's why reality TV works. That's why people love dangerous sports. They want to see something big happen. And when you think about the end of things, I think there's a certain amount of fear of death that makes you sort of want it to be a very big thing. You know, if we're going to have to die, let it be huge. Let it be a rapture. Let it be planet-wide. You know, let spaceships come and save us. You know, it makes for a great story. And there are all kinds of thought forms out there because for years people have wanted this to happen in a big way. So I think that there's a tremendous advantage in tuning yourself to your highest and best before you ever try to channel, and then in challenging your sources in the name of whatever you hold dearest and highest, so that you can get somebody on the horn that is vibrating in good relationship with your highest and best self, so that your highest and best service is to offer the channeling. And then you just have to leave your ego at the door and channel what you get. So I have never gotten anything that would suggest, you know, we're all going to go at once. The closest I've ever gotten to that was when someone would ask a question about it, and they said, well, after all, you know, if it did happen, wouldn't it be fun? You know, we'd all be going at once. It would be a big party, you know. That was trying to ease fear, because my sources, the sources for our group, are concerned, I think, more than anything else in this wise, with the switching of the densities, with removing fear from the process, so the people don't fear it. If people don't, you know, worry about it, but instead embrace it and just move on and trust that these more truthful, more loving, more informative vibrations are their friends.
I've got two follow-up questions, one based on each one of you, what you said. First, what you said, Jim, about we are fully in 4D light, and yet to go into 4D, we need to pass through the gates of death. Okay, so we're not going to be living in 4D here in this incarnation. And yet, they sound almost the same. If the Earth is fully getting 4D light right now, and we're the whole idea is we have these higher frequencies, these higher vibrations that we can utilize, and like you said, your thoughts become reality more easily with these 4D energies. What's the difference then? If we're in 4D light, then what's the difference between that and going to 4D in our next incarnation after this one?
with the third density bodies that we have, we don't have the ability to handle this fourth density light in the way that it could be handled if we had a fourth density body. We have to kind of have this energy step down to us. If we were able, if we experienced the full energy that is available to us, it would be kind of like blowing the circuit. There would be too much energy going across, and we would not be able to handle it. So what we do, what we're able to do instead, is to continue along this path somewhat more efficiently now, because we are able to handle a step-down version of that through our mind-body-spirit complexes, so that our path of seeking becomes more likely to attract to us the catalyst that we need to grow, more likely to help us to use that catalyst efficiently, and more likely to help us to open our hearts more widely and to be more the agents of love. When Rod was talking about some of the entities that are being born on the planet now have come from other third density planets that have already gone through this graduation, they've come to Earth because it will be their fourth density home. Earth will be a fourth density positive planet. And these entities have come here early and have a combination of the third and fourth density bodies. And I think we've mentioned before how indigo children is one name given to them. The dual activated bodies is what Ra called these entities. And they are more likely to exhibit what we would call extrasensory perceptions. Their third and fourth density combination bodies are more able to take this energy and to use it in the third density, so that you see the ability to bend metal mentally among certain children. You see the ability to perhaps see or envision into the future and to actually do a prophecy or to speak in tongues or to heal, to use this energy in a healing fashion, so that it seems like they have abilities that they were born with, that somehow they cannot be explained in any other way. So that there are some few entities around that are more able to use this, but even they have still got some of the third density body and are not fully able to use this energies. Now, Ra mentioned that Jesus was one who came here and remembered far more than most entities ever do. It was his mission to offer a new covenant. So I would say that Jesus is the excellent example as to what is possible when one has the body that can handle this type of energy. And that he said that in the future, when there was a movement into the what we would call a new age, or he would call the heaven experience, that those entities would do greater things than he did. So I think we're beginning to make movements there, and we're getting more efficient at it, but we still have a third density body, and we still have to work with it in its inability to fully handle these new energies.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. We have another live caller. I'm going to go ahead and get you on the show with us. Hi, are you there?
Hi.
Yes, hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Nidru again. I called a couple weeks ago.
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you say your name again?
This is Nidru again. I called a couple.
Oh, right, Nidru. I remember. Okay,
yeah, I called
great.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah. So, thanks for Jim for explaining so clearly on the previous questions. But one thing still sort of unclear. It's to us is. We understand, you know, to be able to move into 4D, to move into the next phase, we'll have to go through the physical death because we don't have the proper tools for it, the physical tools, the body. But what I was wondering was, is there still, because, you know, when we talk about the Hathas, is there not a sort of deadline or a date for that to happen in a sort of, you know, large scale, because from the raw material, it seems that, unless, you know, we understood it wrong, that in the last cycle, the major cycle, at the end of that cycle, there's only a handful of us that were harvestable. So how did that process happen? And after that, what happened to the rest of the humanity at that point that didn't make it? Did they all have to go through? Did they carry on with the life that they were leading as if nothing happened, or how does that work? How did they move into the third major cycle?
Well, there is a harvest at the end of each of the major cycles, and we're at the end not just of a major cycle, but of a master cycle of 75,000 years. So at the end of each of these 25,000-year cycles, there is a harvest, and entities that are able to be graduated, then, as Ra said, there was a small amount. I think there was 150 or so at the end of the second 25,000-year cycle. They all determined that they would not go on to fourth density until those of their brothers and sisters here who remained were able to do so as well. So those entities continued to live here on planet Earth by going through the incarnational processes that they've been going through for the past 25 or 50,000 years. And the cultures that were going on then were, they continued and offered opportunities for the catalyst and the interaction of entities, just like every third density planet does. I think there was another part to your question when you were asking.
The other question was, well, what happens to the people that didn't make fourth density?
Or even the ones that decided to stay.
They are moved to another third density planet. And,
okay.
And they experienced the vibrations of third density, which helped them to make their choice. Actually, the fourth density vibration isn't really helpful for making the choice because it's TMI. There's too much information. You're getting too much home truth about yourself all the time, and it's easy to think poorly of yourself when you begin to see yourself more clearly with this fourth density light. So in third density light, there's not so much information, and there's more encouragement to live by faith. And to move into faith to make that choice to serve, who is your master? Is it the good, or is it a God of love or a God of fear? Is it New Testament or is it Old Testament? You know, because if you read the Old Testament, it's full of gods that smite you and are nasty to you and get mad at you and are fickle and they choose other populations because you didn't please them enough, and it's all very terrifying, really, to live in this atmosphere of angry God, and then you move into the New Testament take on it, and it's a God of such complete love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that all who believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the loving way is simply to allow people that haven't made the choice yet to continue that process. So you're just repeating the great. It's as simple as that. But not on Earth, because Earth is no longer a third density planet.
After the 75,000 years.
It doesn't support. Yeah. So there is
at some point going to be a sort of cutoff date for the harvest, and then those who are harvestable will move on to fourth density Earth.
I think so. I think a lot of the people that are on Earth today, the young ones, are fourth density entities that have graduated.
Yeah.
And just like those, at the end of the second major cycle, they've said, oh, my gosh, I think what I'd like to do for my first service, I'd like to go back to that poor planet and see what we can do about restitution to the planet. It's not so much the people with some of the ones that have come back as fourth density wanderers and, have dual activated bodies, have the DNA to take fourth density and use it. it's more the desire to heal the planet, to heal the damage that we've done to this planet, and to leave it, you know, leave the third density shell in better shape than it is right now. So I think that there's going to come a time when there isn't anybody left that's just a third density entity. There are going to be people that were here in third density and decided to come back as dual activated and to see what could be done to heal the heat that had been pushed down into the planet by the cycles of empire.
So I hope I'm not taking up too much of your time.
Hey, this is a question and answer show. Questions are good. So, thanks a lot.
So there's just one more thing. This is from from a couple of weeks ago after talking to Jim, and then doing more readings and more thinkings on it. So this is sort of how I've come to understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong. So I guess the way it is right now is the Earth is moving into fourth density, and the way I was thinking was maybe the harvest process is not a one-time, it doesn't happen on one day at a certain time and then that's it. That maybe it's sort of a longer process that during, once you've reached the harvest time, then all the entities that are harvestable will still be here until the point that they depart, which means when they die, and then they move on. And then for those who are still here, but they're not harvestable, they will still have to live through their life. And then when they die, I think it was Kuo or Ra mentioned that then those who are not harvestable will be moved to another third density planet to carry on their third density. And then that it's going to carry on until, and then those who are born now, for example, maybe they are ready for fourth density, and then they will just carry on. Does that make sense? Or
that's the basic understanding that we do have from Ra. Ra mentioned that the first experience on the fourth density planet Earth, and this would be true of any new fourth density planet, would be that there will no longer be a third density for a while, because the new fourth density population needs to learn how to physically shield itself from being able to be seen by third density eyes. Because if a third density population could see beings of a higher nature, then that would infringe on their free will as to how they should live their lives. They would just look to those entities for everything as clues as to how to live their lives. So there's a certain period of time and experience that's necessary for the new fourth density population to learn how to shield themselves. And then there could be another third density population join planet Earth and be, then Ra would call it a third/fourth density planet. So I don't know this, and we were not told this, but it would be possible that some entities from Earth could need to repeat the third density and may be able to do it here, or more likely, as to what Ross said, go to another third density planet that was just starting its third density cycle and repeat again that chance to make this choice.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your for all your work and the show and all that stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your question.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling in. Okay, we've got a couple of questions from the chat room. The first one is from Jane. To make a long story short, I've been meditating off and on during the day. We were having a bad storm, which if it didn't stop, it would cause property damage. I did a meditation to calm it down, and it stopped. Can I use this gift for a better purpose?
Well, I can't think of a better purpose when there's a storm, rather than asking the storm to calm. And that's a beautiful thing to do. I think that when you have the desire to heal, whether it's to heal the weather or to heal people, the thing to do is to realize that you're not doing it, that you're a servant that is a channel of a kind. You're offering yourself with an open heart and a humble heart and saying, may I serve. And when you're a healer, you're moving into the open heart, then into the next couple of chakras, the blue ray chakra or the indigo ray, opening the gateway to intelligent infinity, and having that inspiration and that ability come through to you, bounce back down into a green ray, and then move to where it's needed. You don't have to do a thing except let yourself be an open channel and pray that the spirit will use you. So that's really the thing to do. If you want to ever improve the way that you heal, take yourself out of it more and more. Realize that you are a channel. You're an instrument in the hands of the Creator, and you're asking the Creator to play a melody on you in a certain way. And that melody will be a melody of healing. And it will go where it is needed. You do not have to say, heal this person's knee or heal the storm. You just open yourself to this healing ability and ask to be used. Nikki, do you have any additions to that?
No, I agree completely. I don't think I could say that better.
Okay, I'm going to go to the last question then, and I want to let everybody know if we get cut off at the end of the show, it will continue to record, so you can, if you miss part of it, you can always go back and play it in the archive, but we'll try to finish up before the end. Okay, the last question is from Doxy in the chat room. Now, this has to do with manifesting, and it has to do with catalyst, and I'm going to add something to what she's asking. A little while ago, you said, as we have more 4D light, our thoughts create our reality more quickly, more readily with this increased 4D light. And I know at one point Ra said, as we get more 4D light, things manifest more quickly, and gave the example of anger manifesting as cancer. So here's the question from Doxy. I wonder if you could address a negative aspect I'm hearing more of from some who claim to be enlightened, and that is pronouncing to those who are seriously ill that they have somehow manifested their cancer.
The New Age guilt, yes. It is alive and well. Yeah, that's been around for a long time, and it causes all kinds of pain and agony to people, and it's just not fair. Sure, maybe you create the opportunity for illness in yourself by a sustained bout of allowing yourself to sink down into disappointment, not moving into a prayer, not asking, you know, Lord, help me out with this. I don't want to be here, but just letting yourself drag. And maybe, yes, that offers an opportunity. But for the most part, I think you have to just take the attitude that things happen in order to give you opportunities to serve the Creator. And sometimes we do too much, and sometimes we need to rest and gather our strength. And if we can't do that on our own, if we can't relax and enjoy life on our own, well, sometimes we get sick. So that we're forced to relax. We're forced to take it easy. And we just need to use that time. And this is my lesson right now, because I've been very ill for a couple of years with a surgical wound that won't heal, and flat on my back in bed. And I have to realize I need to do this inner work. I need not to worry about the outer work that isn't done. I need to relax and know that this is my opportunity to do inner work. This is my opportunity to tune ever to more joy, ever to more faith, ever to more solidity and stability of positive vibrations.
And isn't it also about responding in love to someone and having compassion? I mean, isn't that part of the catalyst as well? If we see someone who is sick with cancer or whatever, even if, you know, it is obviously catalyst for whatever reason, then the response, I mean, it's an opportunity for us to respond with compassion.
To that person who is just going to be so cruel. And, you know, let it happen to that person. He'll begin to find all kinds of reasons why it's not his fault. I'm sorry, I don't believe in New Age guilt. I won't take it upon myself, and I encourage everybody else not to.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been the recipient of that before. You know, they come up to me and go, oh, well, you know, you must not be doing enough visualization and enough affirmations. And I'm like, hey, where's the love?
My visualization of my fist in your face is so clear. Are you sure I'm not doing enough?
All right. Okay.
I have a sense of humor, don't you?
Absolutely. Okay, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Carla and Jim, and thank you to everyone that submitted questions. And we are here every Friday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You've been listening to In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. And please check out llresearch.org and bringforth.org. That's bring, the number 4, th.org. Check us out. We will be here next Friday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern.